Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Tobin and Copes hanging out with you on a Thursday afternoon. Eric Burns joins us every week at this time, and he joins us right now, courtesy of the UMA guest line. What's up, Burns? How are you, man? What's going on?
Fantastic, dude. It was just such a pleasant surprise to have the one and only Frank Paul Santangelo actually pop in as I was waiting for you guys and pick up the phone. And he actually starts with, "Yo, dude, can't you ever pick up a phone and call? Bro." And then it was immediately right after that to, "Hey, man, you hear me doing play-by-play for the Giants?" I go, "No, I haven't heard you do play-by-play for the Giants. I've heard nothing." But I'm proud of him, man. Good for FP.
It's like Tom being like, "Dude, have you watched my highlights lately, dude? Have you checked out any of my highlights?"
Hey, man. You see, man, you know what we used to call the highlights? The Digby tape. And I was a huge Digby tape guy. So yeah. I just wanted positive reinforcement. So the Digby tape was all of your hits. Or I would go hard hit balls. So, yeah, I haven't brushed up on FP's Digby tape lately. But I'm proud of him, man. It's well-earned and well-deserved all the way from the Sports Phone 680 days.
All right, enough sucking going on here.
Exactly.
Get a little uncomfortable.
Thank you.
Enough sucking. Yeah, enough of that.
Puke. Let's talk baby Giants. We talked a little about Schmidt last week. What about Bailey? I mean, do you feel like, I mean, you talk about Bailey, and I'd like it if you did, but I also want you to talk about the excitement surrounding this team now, because it's still, you know, not a great team. It's right around 500, but doesn't it feel totally different now than it did 2, 3, 4 weeks ago with the young Giants coming up and playing well? Like, you can kind of see things coming together a little bit, like, not just for now, but for the future.
Yeah, and that's a game changer, Tommy, right? Like, it's kind of the process of how you get there, because if this is a 500 team with a bunch of aging vets and everyone's sitting around scratching their head going, "Look, there's nowhere really to go from here. Like, this is what we're going to be." So when you look at it and you see the youthful exuberance, and it seems, I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but it just seems like, you know, with that youth is energy. And it doesn't always have to be the young blood, but there's a shot in the arm that happens, and then you see this revival. And I would always use the example, Tommy, you're going to appreciate this, and I know my wife does too, of every 2 years, we would bring in a new bulldog into the family. And the whole point was that it's this sort of cycle of life. And when you bring the new bulldog in, you have the puppy. Then all of a sudden you have the 10-year-old bulldog running around like it's a puppy again. And so it has this sort of effect that continues to bring the energy of the entire squad up. Now, where I went wrong was my last time, I didn't bring home one, but I brought home two puppies. And then those all of a sudden kind of morphed into a pack, and then just, you know, things got really, really ugly around my household. But, hey, we still got 5, and we're rocking and rolling and hard charged in the day.
Super cute puppies, by the way. really cute puppies. Did the puppies take over? Like, I'll forget it. Let me get to one more question before we get off track, because we always get off track. And you get me talking about puppies, that's exactly what's going to happen. But Bailey in particular, talk about, because I think, you know, when you're a catcher, it's a different animal, right? Like when Posey came up, and I'm not saying he's Posey, but you're a catcher coming up and you have that type of energy, you're running the whole show, it seems like the pitching staff loves throwing to this guy, which it says something. I mean, this guy just came up and these guys really like throwing to him, and that's another different type of energy you're adding to the team.
Yeah, you're right. The catcher is the only position that is looking at the entire field, right? And I don't care what level of baseball you're playing at, that is your leader. That is the dude. I actually, as a matter of fact, would recommend every single player at one point or another play catcher, because you'll never look at the game the same. It's an entire new set of responsibilities that are put upon you. Yeah. You have to be the most selfless player on the field. I try to explain it, all the time, even our kids, when they're back there. It's just like, look, whatever we can get from you offensively is awesome, but I need you working with him, and I need you, whether it's keeping, the demeanor in check, and it's huge. I caught, ironically, my senior year in high school, and it was the greatest thing that I ever did in my baseball career. One of the greatest things, just for the fact that I came from scratch, having no clue what I was doing, to legitimately like, okay, like, this is amazing. And then they loved me so much back there that I actually got drafted out of high school. And then when the Baseball America came out with, like, where you got drafted, like Eric Burns, 30th round, and then you have their position next to it, and it said center field. So that was the big impression that I left from behind the plate.
Well, the F is right above the C on the keyboard. Like, maybe it was just supposed to be a C, and they accidentally typoed it into a CF.
Oh. Yeah, Coach, you're right, dude. It must have been it.
You were a stud back there, bro. You're a brick wall back there, Burnsy. It's funny because I caught in high school too. Same thing is always said, I think, to everybody who's a catcher. When I was in Little League and high school, like, they always say the same thing. You're right about the offense. We don't really care what we get from you offensively. We just need you to be a great defensive catcher. Buster Posey came up and changed the organization, and specifically changed that team and that pitching staff. And the Giants now, while not as young, have a pretty damn good pitching staff. If you add that defensive element, someone with those smarts and that asset, and you don't have to learn as much now, Burns. You can come up and the pitcher can call his own game. You don't have to come up and know how to call a game or know where to look in the dugout and know what your pacing is going to be. It seems to me like you can get a better grasp, and this is, from the outside looking in and just sort of general, but I think we're going to start seeing a different wave of catchers come up with different abilities, maybe a little bit quicker, because they don't have to worry about an element of the game that was maybe the most important.
Yeah, so my question is that is who's calling the games now with the pitch com?
A lot of pitchers are. A lot of the Giants pitchers are calling it themselves.
So how do they do that?
So they have and you'll see, there's some guys, they wear them in different spots. Some guys have it on their belt. Some guys have it on their glove hand. Shohei Ohtani has the buttons memorized. He has it under his, on his bicep, on his left arm. So you'll see him reach over and press the buttons.
That's weird.
And so, for example, it is so quiet at A's games right now because there are so few people. The A's catchers have had to turn down, the speaker in their pitch com because hitters can hear it because there's not a buzz from the crowd. Because now the catcher is the one hearing what pitch is coming, right? Rather than the catcher telling the pitcher. And I'll tell you what, as a catcher, would terrify me for him to be like, if Shohei hits the wrong button one time. But I believe it tells both. I believe it tells both of you, so you've confirmed what pitch you're throwing, right? That it's like,
yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting.
I wonder what percentage of catchers, as opposed to pitchers, are now calling that. And then the other question is there anything coming from the dugout?
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, if the catcher's not calling it, it would be weird. I don't think so, right? Because then the catcher has no sign that he's ever relaying to the pitcher. And what reason would there be for the pitcher to I don't think anybody wants the pitcher looking in the dugout in between pitches, right?
Yeah, I would probably go back and forth on that, because part of me would also be I don't want my pitcher thinking out there.
Right.
I just want him reacting. Now, where it would become very difficult for say, for example, and this is the hardest part when it comes to calling a game at a youth, you know, level, is that when you're not back there, you really can't understand in and out. So even from the side where I'm watching, say, from the dugout or down the line.
Okay, hold on.
Can I get some fries?
So it's a question of
I'll take some a Coke and a burger.
Dude, one of my favorite gambles on the air, in just like the year I've been doing this with you, is how long do you let a bad connection go before you're like, should we pause it and try to reconnect?
I'm terrible with that.
I'm like, I kind of roll the bones. You know what I mean? There it happened, and for a sec, I thought it came back, and I was like, you know what? Let's go for a sec. And then I'm playing with the listener feelings, you know?
Then you're like, no.
No, then I was like, no, I can't deal with this crap. Yeah. It is interesting, though. Like, to me, I don't think, and we can ask Burns about this when we reconnect. I mean, I think we've got him back on the line. Burns, you were just cutting out there. Like you were saying, it's interesting about a pitcher. Like, you don't want him thinking out there. But I think there's also something to, and I wouldn't know this, and maybe none of us would unless you were a pitcher. Like, there's something maybe to a rhythm, too, that he feels like he doesn't have to wait for a sign. He can give it, and it's easier to get in rhythm.
Yeah, and that could be the case. So I'm sure each guy is different. And then also the success will measure exactly how it's working, right? If you have success and you're calling your own game, and that's fine. We've gone back and forth just as an organization, our Let Them Play teams, where I've recommended the catchers completely calling the games themselves. There's times when we've done it, and we also have some really good coaches that love calling pitches. We have catchers that don't want to call games. That's another element of it. But ultimately, no matter if it's the coach or the kid, the catcher, I should say, calling the pitch, I always tell the pitcher, I don't care. If you want to shake off, you shake off. You throw what you're confident throwing. Because if you're not going to believe in that pitch, I promise you it's not going to work out. So, you know, that is the I think that's probably the winning formula, I would guess, but it's going to be interesting to see like sort of the evolution of this going forward and see what sticks and what doesn't.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I wanted to ask you this just from a general baseball standpoint because I've been thinking about it the last week or so. Over the last 10 years, it's been just Trout's the best player in baseball. I don't think you get much argument from just about anybody out there. It just who's the best player in baseball? Mike Trout. Even if they don't know baseball, they say Mike Trout just because that's what everybody else says. Is he still the best player in baseball?
No.
Is he top five?
He's not the best player on his team.
Shohei Ohtani's best player in baseball, and it's not even close.
But
if he were just a hitter, it'd be a whole different story. But what he does on the mound, what he does, at the plate, what he's I even think capable of doing, in the field, he's the best player potentially, Tommy, that we've seen in a long time. And by the way, because I just saw this list that I threw up in my mouth. Somebody asked ChatGPT the top 10 players in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
And apparently Bonds was left off that list.
Whose list was that?
Exactly. Now all of a sudden, dude, I can't take this AI thing serious. I was all in for a minute, now I'm all out.
That's a good reason to be out, Burns. I saw one last week, Burns, it said list of most overrated baseball players since like 2000 and I don't know, say five or something. Or 2000. Dude, Tim Lincecum was number two. I laughed out loud. I was like, what does that mean? He was overrated. he was here for like 5 years, and he won 3 rings and 2 Cy Youngs. That was properly rated.
Two no hitters.
Nobody's out there like put that guy's the greatest of all time.
Tim Lincecum, by the way, and he just doesn't get enough love because he kind of faded off into oblivion.
Underrated, maybe.
The two nastiest starting pitchers that I ever faced in my career. Number one was Roy Halladay. Number two was Tim Lincecum. They were that good. They would throw fastballs down the middle and then get that late movement that would run, like, literally. I'd love to see the metrics on it. Like, just a foot, 2 feet at least. And so they literally throw fastballs down the middle. And next thing you know, I remember Lincecum, him throwing a fastball away. I thought I was all over it. And then next thing you know, my bat's in 15 pieces. So he was as dominant as could be. And then he had the big curveball when he first got to the big leagues, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as you figure that thing out, then he invented the split. So once he did that, it was a game changer. So when he was at the top of his game and throwing, you know, 98 miles per hour, it was the best of the best. I mean, I think Pedro Clemens, and I also saw them maybe a little bit later in their career, Maddox, Randy Johnson, all of them. I put Tim Lincecum above all of them. And Roy Halladay was the other one that went in his prime.
Forget about Ohtani, because we got sidetracked with Ohtani. Ohtani's different. He's just let me ask you this. Is Trout better than Judge?
Wow. It's a tough one. I mean, who would you take for the next 5 years, Trout or Judge? That's how you have to ask yourself, right?
I'd take Trout. Tom already has Trout, though.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know who I would take. Sometimes you watch somebody too much, because you kind of you see all the warts too. Like no one ever sees all the strikeouts, mm-hmm. and that guy strikes out a ton.
Dude, you're looking at her left pinky toe. Stop, dude.
Dude, that's what happens when you watch it. No,
it comes in.
It's more like a big toe now.
Now you're gonna focus on that. You're not gonna marry her because of her left pinky toe, bro.
No, that's not true.
You can't do that.
That's not true. That is so not true. It's just you notice stuff when you watch it. When you watch games more, do you not?
She gets up in the morning.
No, stop. I don't want to hear from you. How many Angel games you watch?
I watch
5.
I would tell you right now.
They got real high pitch, Tom.
Look, I would have a hard time passing up on the dude that is 6'6", that runs around the field like an NFL wide receiver / tight end. It has been healthy each and every single year. That has 20 more home runs than anyone else over the past 2 seasons. I saw a stat. He has 80. The next closest is Pete Alonso at 60. He is playing on a different level right now. So I think offensively, I would put Aaron Judge as the best player in baseball right now. If you just said offense only, and that's it. Ohtani and Trout would be right there. Obviously, you take Ohtani's pitching, and that's where he separates himself. So it's a healthy debate.
No, hell, I'll give you another healthy debate. If you want offense only and don't factor in defense, I'll take Yordan Alvarez over Trout.
I knew you were going there.
Yeah, but you got to factor in defense. I mean,
you're the one that just brought up if you're talking about offense. You want to talk about offense?
Well. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can make it. Look at Alonso's numbers, by the way, since 2019. More homers than anyone else. I mean, that guy's. We did a thing for No Filter on Pete Alonso, like a cool little video. Go to my Instagram and check it out when you get a chance, and you won't be able to miss it because you'll see Pete Alonso shirtless on the on the cover of the post. But basically, you know, we were celebrating him for, you know, exactly, you know, what he's done, the consistency and everything else. And then you hear Buck Showalter talk about him where he goes into Showalter's office the first day of the year and it's like, hey, look, here's my scheduled off dates for the year. And basically, like, gives him, like, 2. And said, these are the only 2 I'm not playing. So there's something to be said for that. You can't, like Ron Washington used to say, you can't make the club in the tub. So And by the way, Wash just back in Oakland. That must have been a pretty cool thing, I think, for A's fans who have, you know, grown to know and love Wash over all the years. But, yeah, he's, you know, Alonzo's another special guy when it just, if you just want to talk offense, you know, solely.
Yeah. Hey, let us know what's coming up, nofilter.net. And before we do, I don't want to get too far into this. Congrats. Congrats to your son. Congrats to the team. That was pretty awesome.
I mean, we don't have to get too far into it, Tommy, but they were down 11.
I know. I saw the post.
The final inning of the gold medal game. Barstool, every major publication picked this thing up. Like, this was the national news story. We probably could have spent the entire segment talking about the 12U national team. That
why do you think I asked it last?
they were down 11
in the final inning.
Yes,
freaking of Cubs 11.
Holy crap,
11! And don't give like, dude, they were by far, in my opinion, by far and away the best team there. Just it was a joke of a ballpark, absolute joke of a ballpark. You can't put trampoline bats in the best 11 and 12 year olds, you know, hands and give them 240 foot fences. Like it just. And pop-ups were going out. It was an absolute joke. And Venezuela, they were absolutely stacked. And so they went back-to-back and basically blew this thing open, right? They were up 28. This isn't a joke. 28-17. And both of them, one guy, this is on my IG as well, too. One guy walked halfway down the line on what I literally would call it a pop-up that ended up going out of the yard. Walked halfway down the line, blindly threw the bat, 40 feet up in the air. It goes whizzing by the umpire's head. And then takes 15 minutes for the bases to just snap, whatever.
I think
we lost him.
So he's nope. Dancing around every base. They cut out.
No, almost adds to the allure. You know what I mean? Of the story, dude. We just like pot him back up, and he's like still. He might still be going now. Can we check in? He put him on hold. I thought it'd be good if he was just still going, and we potted him back up, and then we were getting more pieces of the story. Anyway, if you missed it, his son's U11 World Baseball Cup team wins the World Cup America's qualifier. I think we got him back. We got Burns back.
You good?
No.
Finish your story. Yeah.
So basically, they come out after they take the 11-run lead. They come out taunting our dugout, our fans, everybody. I mean, it was unfair. They're throwing hats. They're throwing gloves. They're laughing. They're pointing. All of it. It's the worst I've ever seen. This could be a whole new discussion. Yeah. We need to do a whole show on this. But then at that point, I said, I swear to you.
Oh, man. I don't think it was meant to be. Unlike the 11 run comeback, I don't think that story being told on KMBR today was meant to be, Tom. I don't know.
We tried.
I really did try.
We tried.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now you can get $10 off any 17 point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.